What's up, everyone? This is Punch Drunk Nerd. Welcome back. I'm your host this week, Ed Ball. And of course, with me, we have
Miguel Sanchez.
And no Luis this week, unfortunately. He's out. Didn't want to be here. He said, Godzilla versus Kong. No, thank you.
No.
But that will be our feature discussion this week. We're very excited to finally dig deep into the latest MonsterVerse movie. But Miguel,
yes,
we have big news tonight. We are recording this on Tuesday. You're listening to this on Friday. And they just released the first trailer for Joker Folie à Deux. Joker 2, in other words, in different countries. But yeah, Joker 2, first look. We literally both just watched it twice.
Yes.
Each.
Just before we recorded. So
before we recorded. So, and it just came out like an hour ago. So this is like a hot take.
Yeah, but by Friday they'll be like, oh my god, they're still talking about Joker 2.
Exactly. But you know, what if we
buckle up,
always having our finger on the pulse. So anyway, Miguel, the highly anticipated or skepticized follow up to Joker way back in 2018. Can you believe it?
Oh my god. No way. Joker was in 2018. No way. That had to
Hey Siri, 2019. It was 2019. It was the year before the same year as Parasite.
Ed's supposed to, just so I want the audience to know that Ed's, you know, really prides himself on being the guy on award show seasons and this and that. Like, he knows.
2019. It was 2019.
That's what I fucking thought.
Damn,
that's still quite a long time. So this is the first we've seen some behind the scenes, not behind the scenes, but like, you know, the, just like the shooting on the streets and stuff. some stills here and there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been like a year or so that they've been,
delayed a little bit, I think. No?
Yeah. So it feels like it's been a long time.
Right.
But today, right now, just now, they released that trailer and we just watched it.
Here we are.
Let's get into it.
We are, 6 months out now? Maybe less?
Real quick, before we get, were you excited for a sequel or were you in the camp of like, I don't think this was necessary?
You know, a little bit of both, because the cool thing about Joker was it did make itself into this kind of standalone origin story. And I think the whole approach to it was done so that, you know, it could be a part of this kind of expanded universe, but not need a follow-up or anything. And it was really just kind of like one specific take on this iconic character. So yeah, I think like most people, I was very skeptical. Especially kind of, and you know, not to throw shade, but like with Todd Phillips being the director that he is, you know what I mean?
Sorry, Todd.
But like the biggest question mark on that also is like, why does, aside from the money, but why does Joaquin Phoenix come back? You know,
yeah, like, I mean, I guess like the prestige of winning the Oscar is also a big deal. Like, it was a big moment. It made $1 billion.
It was nominated for like 11 Oscars.
Yeah.
Including Best Picture, Best Director. It won Best Actor. It won Best Original Score that year.
He's like, isn't he like the second actor to ever win Best Actor on a superhero movie or an Oscar on a superhero movie?
A second actor to win an Oscar for The Joker, baby.
Well, like, that's pretty crazy. I think for me, I kind of saying like I liked the first movie enough. It's not one that I go back and revisit a lot.
Yes, right.
But once they said Lady Gaga was going to be Harley Quinn, I was like, okay, I like Lady Gaga. Like, I like her. She chooses interesting roles, you know. And I was like, okay, see her really fitting into his world.
And she's also, and I don't mean this negatively, she's very like earnest. Like, she tries to rise to the level that you know, she's very conscious about going into like working.
She's not just like phoning this in.
Exactly. This isn't. Yeah, exactly. So all saw that Oscar performance of A Star Is Born. Holy God.
I still think about that.
Yeah. So I feel like if they have just like an ounce of that chemistry,
yeah,
you're set, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And when they announced that it was going to be a musical, I know that was kind of like a, you know, like, I don't know if people really like that, yeah. But it just seems like a world that obviously Lady Gaga fits in well.
Yeah.
And, we'll see. I like that they, in the trailer, we'll get into the trailer talk in a second, but I like that they didn't really like, they weren't like singing the entire time, like a musical trailer, you know?
Well, so like in recent weeks, you know, true to studio fashion, I feel like they were just kind of like readjusting audiences' expectations from a musical to a jukebox musical,
yeah,
which is a very different thing. Like, we're talking about movies like Moulin Rouge,
yeah,
or Elvis Presley. If you could call that a musical, it's really more like a biopic. But that kind of deal where it's old, it's already like well-known songs, and they're just singing different
renditions. They're not like writing a show tune for the Joker.
Exactly. And they might have an original song because you want that Oscar money. But the yeah. And I guess one thing I feel that also had it going for it was in the context of the first movie, where obviously they kind of dabble with what's reality and what's not inside Arthur Fleck's mind. You could see that they're kind of leaning more into that element as far as how this musical comes into play.
Right.
You know, so yeah, but let's get in, let's get into this trailer.
I'm ready.
All right. So, where we left after Fleck in prison in Arkham, in the first movie, he's obviously still there. Interesting. Oh, by the way, if you're trying to avoid this trailer, you can skip ahead to our feature discussion at any time down below. So spoilers for the trailer if you're trying to avoid that. But yeah, so first interesting thing I see, Miguel, is I guess they're implying that maybe Harley Quinn is a patient already at Arkham.
Yeah, that was interesting. I know I've seen iterations where she's like like a not a nurse, like a therapist or something in Arkham Asylum, and that's how she meets him.
Right.
And then she kind of not goes crazy herself, but she just becomes like infatuated with him and then falls down that rabbit hole.
And obviously he's kind of pulling those strings too,
to
kind of manipulate her.
But here it seems like, oh, they're both loonies in the loony bin, you know what I mean?
And
they both just kind of naturally have this kind of connection to each other. And the vibe I'm getting, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like, you know, she's maybe a fan of his, and like a lot of people seem to be, you know, and she kind of like lights his flame as it were, just to kind of like bring that out of him, because she kind of wants to match that energy, you know, to be like this like queen clown. So it seems like this maybe romance that I don't know. Maybe that he doesn't necessarily want right away, but he's kind of curious about. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much.
And maybe it's split too. We might also be getting like a tap into her psyche and how she visualizes everything. Like maybe these romantic sequences are all in her head, because we know, at least through the lore, that like it's obviously a very abusive relationship. And again, the Joker, the first movie being as dark as it was, you could kind of see them playing with those elements.
When you say that, what I was kind of thinking about when I was watching it the first time, you're making me think this is like, maybe who's the one pulling the strings in this iteration, right?
Right.
Like maybe it's more her than him.
Right.
Because he's defeated by the end of the movie and he's locked up, he's nowhere to go. And maybe she's like, I want to pull that out of you and I want to create and sow chaos too. So I'm going to push you over the edge so that we can both do that together. So that would be kind of interesting take of like Harley Quinn being a little more of the dominant one in this relationship.
Yeah, like flipping that around.
This is just like speculation, obviously. Like, we just watched the teaser.
Not
like,
a lot of context in the trailer.
No.
Just kind of glimpses of the two of them in Arkham in different scenarios, and then some musical elements that... what I do like is that it feels consistent with the first movie.
Totally. I like they just picked right back up.
Yeah, with some like obvious nods to like kind of like classic Hollywood musicals, kind of like Umbrellas of Cherbourg, but there's kind of like this
overhead shot
with the there's just uniquely colorful umbrellas in a very dim lit place. And then like obviously the lighting on the roof, and they're dancing on the rooftop, and he's in a tux and she's in a gown.
And they're like on a stage with like a set behind them,
right?
Of the city, you know, the
spotlight, etc. Exactly.
I tell you this, before I go any further about like analyzing every little thing that I can remember, there was several moments where I felt like I just kind of got swept up in it. I really enjoyed this trailer. I was not expecting. I was kind of cautiously holding back for it. I was so glad when we finished, you were like, can we just do it one more time before we start talking about it? But when he for the first time in the trailer, you see him in the Joker makeup, and she's kind of like in this ballerina outfit, and then the song, you know, What the World Needs Now, when that starts playing, I was like, whoa, okay, this is beautiful. Like, where is this going? And I liked that kind of underscored the all of the trailer.
Can I say, with those first two musical notes, it was like ding ding. And I was like, oh my God, we're not going to do Pure Imagination, are they?
Whoa. You know, that would have been a little on the nose, right?
Little on the nose, but like, that just crossed my mind. But no, I agree with what you said. Sorry, I'm playing it in the corner here, so I got to revisualize. But yeah, like what stood out in the first movie is kind of like the visual language of it. Just like these
luxuries.
Luxuriating these moments. Like, one of my favorite shots from that first movie is him behind the curtain, and he's kind of like winding up to come out onto the stage.
Remember that one?
And I feel like there's a lot of this and like in this trailer, so I really it's interesting. They seem to have kind of like a with Steve what's his name, Coogan. Steve Coogan seems to be like a TV personality interviewing.
I thought he was like a therapist, but yeah.
He might be a therapist, yeah.
Now you got me thinking. I have it playing in the background.
There does seem to be like some sets. Cool. I don't know. Maybe this whole relationship takes place in Arkham. Who's to say?
Well, so that's what I'm thinking. But then there is like a very clear shot where they're like dancing on the street, and there's like... I have to wonder if they break out of Arkham at some point.
Yeah, they have to.
I mean, there's that shot of him running on the down the street, being chased by like those versions of himself. Which could all just be in his head. But yeah, like this shot where they're dancing and the ambulance goes by, it does feel very much like that's real world, not just in his head. The sets and things, that's probably in Arkham, like, with them. Oh, but she's like walking up the steps at that one point to go to the courthouse. Oh, and can we talk about her outfit just real quick? Like her Harley Quinn, like her Joker outfit.
Yeah. Oh, as she's going up the steps there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I am digging Lady Gaga as this character, as Harley Quinn. I like the idea. I'm not necessarily like sold on this vision of Harley Quinn's costume.
Sure.
I think Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, like the first time you see him in makeup in that kind of like burgundy elevated suit scene, or whatever, it's just like electrifying, and it's just like the perfect makeup for this iteration. And it's like here they were trying to do less with her, I guess. And she's got these like two black lines on her face, and then a little bit of red lipstick, and then a little bit of the white face. With her hair slicked back. I think his is so colorful. I would have liked hers to be...
have a little more pop.
Just a little more pop. Yeah. But I don't think it's bad. I think I just need to kind of like get used to this. Yeah.
I feel like they're definitely going with the color scheme, you know, similar to that in the animated series, you know.
Yeah.
Just that classical, like, black and red and white Harley Quinn.
I think because his eyes are blue, he has those blue triangles or diamonds on his eyes.
Yeah.
They're so, they just like capture my attention. And I guess because there's these black lines on hers, they kind of just like, I don't know, I don't know. I have to get used to that. But
sure.
As far as their relationship goes, I totally buy the two of them.
Yeah. I'm here for a Lady Gaga, Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, a moment later, if you're still on that clip, you see another scene of them two kicking it down the steps, kind of like in the first movie.
Yeah.
And she, I'm assuming that's her. It's like blonde.
I wondered if that was someone else.
Hang on, maybe it could be, yeah. She also looks pregnant.
Or yeah, she looks.
Maybe that's the dress.
Well, anyway.
Because it's in like the 70s. It looks like one of those kind of like short. Anyway, but yeah, it's hard to say.
But look, there's definitely a shot of them like running down the Arkham hallway and with when it's on fire. So it's like, I wonder if they set the building on fire and escape.
Yeah.
And then it's like Joker and Harley Quinn are like loose on the streets of Gotham. Right. So it's like the first act or two could be them in Arkham doing the musical numbers.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now we are fully fallen down the rabbit hole of each character and boom, now we're in Gotham City and we can recap
it. Sure.
Yeah, that's my guess.
It seems like one of them breaks out at some point.
There's also these explosions happening.
Which, you know, feels like spoiler territory a little
possibly,
bit.
Possibly, yeah. Oh, there's this interesting thing where I'm going to talk about my favorite moment of the trailer. It seems like they're on either side of a glass, like he's in prison and she's outside.
Yeah.
So that's got me curious that you were mentioning about one of them breaks out. It's like, how does this work?
Right.
When is this in the movie? Maybe this is the beginning of the movie where she's like a pen pal or something going to meet
him.
Yeah.
And she breaks in.
And then she, or gets committed so like that she
gets
can be
herself
there.
Committed. Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, why else would this happen later in the movie? So that's kind of a guess, but I love it because she colors the smile on the window and you think, oh, she's going to smile on his face, but then she does it way off to the side and it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's an interesting choice. But then just the way he turns to it and that smile just comes to his face, dude.
It's very,
I got chills. Like, I was like, that was a really cool shot.
It's perfectly framed. I'm watching it right now. Yeah. Like the way it lines up and the way his face like belongs on his
like
face
he
kind of
melts
magic.
Into it. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's not a perfect smile whatsoever, but it's his smile.
Right.
Oh man. Yeah. That's an awesome shot. I love it. First, it looks like a kid with Kool-Aid, but then it just morphs right into it. Yeah.
And it's like shots like that where you're just like, Joaquin Phoenix like really does make a great Joker.
Yes.
Like his own Joker.
I'm here for it. Would not watch another trailer at all. No. Like this is the one. I'm going to see it now.
Based off of that, I understand why Luis wasn't trying to watch it. Like, because again, like there are notes where you could be like, that's, you know, you get
if you
into
kind
spoiler
of,
territory.
I feel like if you kind of understand like the structure of a story, then you could probably, you know what I mean? You could be like, well
just
yeah,
like
I
the context of the previous movie too.
Yeah.
But like, okay, real quick, what are some like one or two expectations that you have? And I hope this movie fulfills.
Hope. I want them to actually like, I like the musical angle. I get it. Like all in their head, they're crazy. They're in the asylum. I would be really bummed if that was the whole movie. I want to see them in reality, not just their realities.
Right.
I want to see them wreaking havoc on Gotham City as Joker and Harley Quinn. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a Batman movie. You know what I mean? No. I don't need all that, but I'm like, because they waited so long to the end of the first movie for him to really become the Joker. And really after the talk show, he's on the streets for just a little bit. Then he gets caught. So I want him in Gotham City.
Yeah.
Just tearing things up. That would be my big hope and wish.
For Like I said earlier, if they have just an ounce of that chemistry that Lady Gaga had with Bradley Cooper, or even Adam Driver, like she's I think she's pretty good. I think she's like someone to be excited for.
I agree.
I hope like you know, we really feel it with this relationship. And also because you just didn't feel that with the Jared Leto and Margot Robbie.
We don't have to go down that road.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want to feel that relationship. I want to see that on screen, like, yes. Finally. And also, you were just talking about, like, them wreaking havoc on Gotham and stuff like that. I would really like to, you know, get a really good look inside Arkham Asylum for a change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe some cameos from Batman villains yet to be seen.
It could go really, exactly. And it could go really dark, and it could be subtle, whatever, but it would be just like, that's where they can really play into, like, the kind of fucked upness of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Because we did get, like, a lot of Gotham in the last movie, but I know what you're talking about. You want to see those characters unleashed.
Yes.
Right. And because you're right, we only saw, like, a glimpse of that towards the end. But, it would be cool to see how they lean into the figure that is the Joker by the end of this movie. Like, where are they going to leave it at, you know?
Right, like, he can't just be in Arkham Asylum for this run of this character. You know what I mean? He's got to become the Joker. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I'm hoping.
So right now, I imagine with the way they pick up, it's starting to feel like he's like that kind of political figurehead. Like he's the Joker who shot that guy and started like a riots in the street.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see how the city is responding to that.
Yes. Too. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh no, cool. The Joker's out. He's on the loose, you know.
Right. So that's Joker Folie à Deux. That is the very first teaser trailer. The movie comes out October 4th this year. So you could expect maybe one or two more trailers after this, but if you're just like a little curious, check this one out. If you're not, and you just want to be spoiler free, that's fine. If you know what the movie was, the first movie, then you have a good idea of where this one's going. Just add Lady Gaga. So yeah, Miguel,
that just there means it is.
We're moving on to our feature discussion.
Let's do it. Which
of course is Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire. Yeah. I almost said Frozen Empire, but it's not that.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Hang on, wait. I'm going to crack a cold one for the boys. Godzilla and Kong.
This one's for me, and this one's for my homies. Cheers.
Cheers, you guys. Cheers. Much love.
Yeah, Godzilla by Kong has been in theaters for the last
Godzilla multiply Kong.
However you want to say it. I've yet to hear a consensus. But
it's not a great title. It's not a great title. They were just like, we can't do Godzilla versus Kong again.
Because they're not going to fight.
They're not very sing.
Yeah. So it's just like, instead of plus Kong, it's by Kong.
Yeah.
So I
have to say, I know I mentioned previously, but my son and I, we've been watching some of the Godzilla movies. We watched Godzilla versus Kong like several times together now. And I've shown clips of some of the other Godzilla, basically just Godzilla, the first one. Like, I don't, because I think Godzilla 2 is terrible. But Godzilla versus Kong is fun. But I have to say, I'm really excited for him to see this one. Me and my wife, we were kind of back and forth on if it was, you know, too much for him to go to the theater and see it.
Sure.
But one of the things I told her as soon as I got in the car was just like, man, this is, of all of the movies that they've made, like, this feels like the most, I don't want to say family friendly, obviously that's not the right word, but it's like, it's really just like the monkeys fighting each other. Godzilla comes in and fights them a little bit.
A lot of cartoony. And,
yeah, it's not super scary. It's not a lot of, there's no guns. It's not a heavy military presence. It's just very
mildly
theatrical.
Theatrical and kind of like, if anything, like monster violence and gore. You know, like,
yeah, but gore is a strong word. I wouldn't even say the word
well
gore.
No, but like, so gross tame stuff, like they're eating like this very kind of gooey
octopusy thing.
Octopus, yeah,
yeah.
I'm not saying that's like scary, but it's like, you know, it's
imagery, I guess.
Yeah,
that's kind of,
it's
shocking.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's the
But overall, yeah, I had a great time.
I can also see how it's a little intense in the theater for a kid, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen those? Have you seen those clips where people go see it in like the 4DX, whatever theater?
Oh, boy.
Where like the seats are shaking and the walls are shaking and like
just the whole time
flashing lights and everything. I'd be like, this is too much. This is too much.
No, thank you. But yeah, let's
I saw it in IMAX, Ed.
Yeah.
But I live in Denver, so we don't have a true IMAX, or at least the one I went to is not a true. It's one of those laser ones.
Yeah.
And I have to say, going to the IMAX in Houston and going to the IMAX here, you feel the difference. Like, I feel here, I'm really just in a normal theater that the screen is slightly bigger than it feels like. Because when I was watching it, I was like, I don't really get the sense that this is an IMAX. And then not just the content playing, but like the screen itself. Yeah, I was like, it just feels like a movie theater. But sure. For one of the first IMAX in Houston, like I saw Gravity, and I remember there's like a bit where she like steps off of the satellite or whatever, the beginning of the movie or whatever. I can't remember when, but it was just like, it felt like I was falling into space. That screen was so big. And you know, that room is enormous. So that was kind of a letdown as far as like, oh, I'm seeing it on IMAX. Thank God I was seeing it for free. But I still had a great time, and I've done a lot of rambling. I want to hear your initial thoughts, and then we can get into it.
Did you get into your initial thoughts?
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I liked it. I had a good time. I thought it was, to me, just like a quick little hot take. I think it was kind of like the best one since Godzilla, the first one. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like Godzilla vs. Kong, I think is fun, but it's just not. It's okay, but it's not fun. You know, it's just a lot of like, we have to explain the story of why they have to be fighting each other, you know? And I just think that kind of mucks it up a little bit. And this one, it's like, you just get it. They have a couple of throwaway lines so they can catch audiences up if you haven't seen the movie. But otherwise, it's just like, here it is. Just go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's fun. Do I think it's perfect? No, but it's fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think
I don't think anybody would, if they've just seen like any piece of marketing for this film, not going to this film taking it too seriously. Like, you got to show up just to kind of sit back, relax, and
ready to go,
just enjoy some monster mash, you know?
Wait, I'm sorry, before we get into yours, can I talk about my theater experience one more time? I've vented to you briefly about this, but I have to tell you in person how annoyed I was. So listen, I 100% know that I'm buying a ticket to a movie theater. There is no guarantee, right, that you are going to have this spread out seat. No one's going to sit next to you, this and that. Unless you buy like a specific seat here or there, generally speaking, you are always under the assumption that someone is going to sit next to you, okay? I bought my ticket an hour before I went. I went and saw it first thing in the morning. It was literally the first showing of the day. People had already bought their tickets prior. I looked at the perfect seating chart, whatever, and I was like, okay, if I pick this seat right here, there's a couple, two seats down for me. No one, like a urinal, no one's going to split that difference. You know what I mean? So I'm going to sit here. There's going to be two free spaces, and then there's going to be a couple over here, and that's a great spread, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
15 minutes before the movie starts, I'm the first one in the theater. I jump on my map, on the theater map, to see what tickets were sold, just to make sure, like, yeah, first off, I'm in the right seat, and also there's no one next to me. And someone bought the seat right next to me, in between me and the couple, when the other 17 seats on the left of me were free, and Ed, the entire row in front of us, I was dead center, right? I'd like that special seat you guys like.
Yeah, yeah.
That entire row in front of us, which is still basically the middle of the theater, was completely empty.
Ugh.
So this guy bought this ticket 15 minutes before the movie and could have picked any seat in that row. He could have picked that same seat just in the row ahead of him and had that whole row to himself. But instead, he sat right next to me. And I was like, dude, what idiot, what smooth-brained idiot decides to buy this ticket? Like, it...
Unless you're just being a troll.
Yeah, and maybe I come across like a little whatever about this. Like, I should have... Like,
no, it's really, I'm 100% on board with you. I'm, like, enraged.
I just was like,
I am very aware of how close I am to people. I will even, like, if it's not like a crazy packed theater, like, or an opening weekend or something...
Yes, yes.
I will make sure there is space so that people... What can put their feet up?
I mean, right? Like, you just,
you
like,
know what I mean? I'm just,
I don't
like,
want to be crowded.
Sparse seating, there's yes. plenty of options.
Yes.
And like last night, I moved, when I went to go see this movie, actually, when I got into the theater, I moved up a row. Because yes. like my first initial analysis was like, it's a big theater. I can actually go up one and just kind of feel it more, and then I'm not close to those people. Plus, yeah. I snuck in a bunch of candy too.
There you go. So right? Like, you don't want people knowing.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy's eating candy. He didn't buy at the concession stands. They don't sell those here.
Exactly.
That's a fun size pack. Yeah. No. You get me. So what? That's what I did too. I ended I moved yeah. once I saw that the whole row in front of us was absolutely empty for sure. I just moved.
Did you ever see the guy?
Yeah, he sat right next to me. He walked in and he had to scooch around me to go sit down, which also killed me because it's like he could have come from the other way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just sat down. But instead, he had to come up my way and then get in front of me to sit down. And then, I mean, he was right shoulder to shoulder. We were both big dudes. Like, go. What are you doing, big dog? Like,
and he seemed comfortable the whole time.
Man. At one point, I heard him laugh at something like when I had moved up to the next row already, and I wanted to be around, and be like, "Yeah, you having a good time, you motherfucker? No, you piece of, you little piece of shit."
Hey, no. Guy, if you just happen to be listening to this podcast and you know that this is you, honestly, fuck yourself.
Even if you lose you as a, I don't want to be mean to him. I didn't. I get it. Like, I really am trying to be understanding. It's not my theater. If I wanted a private theater, I would have bought the whole theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but come on.
But it just feels like, I mean, you know what I'm saying, Ed? Urinals,
nothing
like,
from social distancing.
If there's four urinals, right?
Yeah.
And there's no one there. The walls, you go straight to the walls. You get as far away from corners, people as possible.
But like, also, in an already kind of like, you're buckling in for like a 2+ hour film.
Yes. Not opening weekend at all.
Not opening weekend.
Come
on. It's just like spread out. Come on, read the room. And don't act like you don't have a choice.
Bro, right? Like, he picked that seat. Yeah. And he picked it after I did.
Perfect. One right flat.
Oh, thank God someone didn't get my seat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's that's like either somebody who's just like very particular about their seating, or again, they're just, I don't know, or completely socially.
I just socially awkward is what I took. You know what I mean? And I was just like, okay, man, you just have that seat. I will just move up because this row is free. Bye.
Yeah, fuck it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Not a big deal.
And that, when it's that empty, you don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Nobody's going to come up as like, "Ooh, you're in my seat," kind of deal. You already know. And like,
oh, and said, I waited.
You can pull out the map too.
I pulled out the map before the trailer started, but I waited 10 minutes into the movie before I moved, just in case someone showed up late.
Right.
Because I didn't want to have that whole conversation. You know what I mean? So I waited, and then I moved, and it was no big deal. So we'll wrap it up there. I'm sorry to rant and rave. I'm sure people are like. I hope someone understands, but I hope they're not like, "Oh my God, Miguel, shut the fuck up." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, well,
no, I get it. No, I'm 100% on board with you there. I don't think you're in the wrong about that. I think.
Thank you.
You know, we're regular moviegoers, and maybe we overthink it sometimes. But also, just I don't know, just feel the vibes. You know, feel
exactly.
the vibes.
Exactly. Exactly.
What day you saw it? Sunday night.
No, I saw it Saturday morning. You know what I mean? Like, again, the theater had just opened. They had to open the doors to let us in to the building first. Right. You know what I mean? We had to stand outside for 10 minutes. So, I mean, it was like, anyway, so that was my theater experience, and I'd love to talk about the movie. What were your vibes? I want to feel your vibes about the movie.
Sure,
what did you think?
First off, I just saw it regular 2D. I didn't see an IMAX. I didn't really, I don't know. Yeah, I just didn't. You know what? Like I was saying earlier, like, you know what you're getting into if you've seen any spec of marketing for this film and or just saw the last one. And I think they just kind of lean into it even harder this time around.
Yeah.
You know what? It was fun, yes. And I didn't have high expectations.
Not at all. No.
So, like, for the most part, I was just vibing. Maybe one of my biggest complaints is that it could have easily been like half an hour shorter.
Oh man, 10 to 20 minutes taken off of this movie, and it would have been just a breeze. You know,
I feel like they're already at a point where they're leaning so hard into the kind of the monster element anyway.
Yeah.
To where they're the characters that we want to be following.
Right.
And I mean, I feel like this is the same fucking argument that each one of these movies is just like,
less
the human element sucks and all of that.
Well, I do think for all of them that we've seen thus far,
yeah,
I did think that this group of humans was the most enjoyable to watch. Like when they finally pared it down to the main core of them.
Yeah, which is constantly changed, to be fair.
Yes, yes. It is kind of surprising the team-ups that happen in this movie.
Yeah.
But once it happened, I was like, you know what? I like these characters. I can handle all of them. The one super cartoony vet guy, he might rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or the super paranoid podcaster. But I thought their little buddy comedy that they were doing, like the little mini buddy comedy throughout this movie, I thought was a lot of fun. I think Brian Tyree Henry really, like, kind of really sat in this role a little bit more. Like the first one, he was a little more show offy, or like just was kind of like being funny to be funny. And this one, acting. I felt like, I feel like this one is like, okay, he's a little bit more like, okay, I'm honed in. Yeah. So his bits when he was funny, I was like, oh, you are cracking me up right now. I'm having a good time. Cause I like Brian Tyree Henry. I think he's great.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great. And to your point, Dan Stevens, I personally enjoyed him. I thought he was
a lot of fun.
I felt like he was channeling like a young Michael Caine, which I enjoyed.
I didn't get that at all, but I don't know young Michael Caine.
But like in a good way. I mean,
he reminded me, he's giving me like a Glenn Howerton. Howerton? Wait, is that the guy from Always Sunny? Who am I talking about? Powell? Glenn Powell from Maverick? The Top Gun Maverick guy, he's in Twisters.
Yes.
He was giving me like that vibe.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but like a little goofier maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe that's his Britishness, but he I enjoyed him. Like characters like that can always just be a little over the top, a little
it can kind of make or break moments in a movie, and I felt like every time they used him it was appropriate.
Yeah,
and he never felt like this guy again, you know. And that's generally what I feel about most human characters in these Godzilla movies thus far, you know.
I think all the cast did the most with what they got. This is a franchise that's not well known for its great character development, as we already said. But so like aside from like the time thing, there were a lot of things that I did like genuinely enjoy in this, but like one thing that kind of just like softened it for me, and this is kind of like one of the things I didn't like it in the previous one, was and I'm talking about my penis.
I know. I didn't want to say it. I was trying not to, dude.
But yeah, it's like I walked into that one. That's what I meant.
My bad.
The one that lessened it for me. I'm sorry. But just like, generally speaking, I guess when it comes to these monster movies, at least these last two, they've just started to feel a little cartoony. And I know
that camp or whatever.
Yeah, and I didn't come into I really did not come into this movie expecting like Godzilla Minus One or anything. I knew exactly what this was,
right?
And it didn't change at all. But what I do enjoy about monster movies is that kind of gravitas to characters and moments and fights, like something that just feels like heart pounding. And whilst there were a lot of cool elements to this, I never felt that
you kind never of, felt like on the edge of your seat
on in awe. And to be honest, the more like, because we see so much of them and because they are the focus of the story,
the scale
you completely just don't consider, you don't feel the scale of it. What I'm totally perfectly fine to grant them is that like they were simply just trying to mix it up from the usual city
escape
bash,
which I like.
I like that, and we'll get to it in a minute. But like they were able with that, they were able to come up with some fun and crazy ideas.
I agree.
And within this, but so, you know, it was kind of like a give and take thing. Like the, like I said, the you kind of take away the dramatic emphasis of the characters of the monsters specifically.
Yes.
And you know, you need a villain, you need something for them to fight against. Like in the previous movie, it made sense that they were fighting each other and then having like Mecha Godzilla thrown in at the end. And for this one, you know, it was kind of like a little just like copy and paste, like
kind well, of right with
big giant lizard come big giant ape, and which also has a big giant lizard because you need both characters to face off of something.
Yep.
But you know, whatever, you know, those but are what
some
we
of
need.
The some of those moments they really leaned into, and I'll talk about them in a second, like some favorite moments. But I do want to I don't want to overtalk it, but I just do want to also say that I agree with your comment about the scale of these characters. When you think about like the very first Godzilla 2014, the airport scene, you see the full Muto in through the window of the airport, and then it pans over and the only thing you see is his Godzilla's foot.
Yeah.
Because he's so big, and then they're screaming because of the monster, and then they go completely silent when he stomps his foot down.
Yeah.
And those, and I get it because they've cranked it to 11 because it's like, we can't just do that anymore.
Right.
But I miss that sense of scale. And I think when you do something like they jump into the hollow earth and it's like where these, you know what I mean? Like they say like a goldfish or whatever grows to the size of its tank, and like, how big can it be if it doesn't have a tank? It's the same thing in this hollow world, right? It's so big, they can get big. But because of that, you just never get the sense of like, how big are you? You just kind of look like a regular gorilla.
Like we're watching Planet of the Apes almost.
Yes. Especially like in that lava cave. It's really hard to get a sense of like, oh, you guys are big, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like the more, if anything, it's like the deeper they went, it felt more condensed shrunk. So yeah, even that, and that was one thing that was like a little repetitious. I was like, okay, well now they're just like going into different levels of the center earth.
How many hollow earths are there? There's
like a huge difference between them. They're just layers. They're just adding layers to the onion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it's fine. Whatever. And it keeps the story moving forward without being repetitious. I get it. Yeah. Another complaint of mine, I'm Team Godzilla, and there wasn't enough Godzilla in this one.
Can I tell you, can I just because you said it just now?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I'm Team Kong. Like,
I know you are.
100%. Dude, like, the more I see that big-ass gorilla up there, I'm like, dude, I like you, dude, man. You're cool as shit, man.
No, I got that vibe.
I think it's because he's got this, like, human connection, and it's like, Godzilla is on, like, this territorial hunt, right? Yeah, like, he's always, 100%. Like, defending his territory. Yeah. And King Kong is kind of the same way, but he also pauses and, like, reflects, and it's like, he has these eyes, and you're like, they also do a great job about, like, there's all these scenes with the monkeys where they're having dialogue with no dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's hard to do.
And, yeah, 100%. And then you can't do that with Godzilla.
You just can't, you know?
No, I get that. I do. But it just felt kind of...
But you wanted more Godzilla.
Well, and I knew, again, Kong is the most relatable. I guess maybe I struggle with this Kong, not to go, like, super deep with it, but, man, you remember how terrible Kong Skull Island was?
I tried watching it, and I turned it off.
Yeah. We saw that in the theater together, and it's not the perfect movie, but it is almost like a perfect King Kong movie. Is Peter Jackson's King Kong in 2005?
You do hold a very, you hold that movie dear and near to your heart.
Like, there is a lot in that movie that I don't like and that I struggle through.
Uh-huh.
But like
Jack Black,
you know. I'm not going to point fingers, but there's a lot of it. It is very melodramatic, but the moments between like King Kong and Naomi Watts are just like pure movie magic. And like a lot of those visual effects still hold up.
You've got, you like that old Hollywood nostalgia.
I don't mind a modern, like a contemporary story at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, like Godzilla Minus One was that, so it's kind of struck against me, but I did really enjoy Godzilla 2014, but that was also more singular and focused on him.
Yes.
And this franchise obviously made its commitment to kind of continue the Godzilla franchise tradition of including all of these different monsters,
yes,
at the same time. And King of Monsters was kind of just way too much and not done very well, unfortunately, even though that movie had so much potential. Like, I watched that trailer again the other day. Yeah. You remember the first trailer for King of Monsters? And it was so gorgeous. And some of the images on that were just like, oh, this is going to be fucking epic.
And I rewatched that one not too long ago. Some of those moments do hit, you know what I mean? But the overall movie was not good.
Yeah, no. And then, the same of Kong Skull Island and, sorry, go ahead.
If you're saying, which I agree, like it started the whole franchise Godzilla, whatever. It started a little more grounded. You singularly focused this big like gravitas of him existing and how the world has to whatever.
And like when he beat the shit out of like those mutos.
Yes.
It was a moment.
Yes.
You know, it was it was a build up to a moment. Yes. Like when he used his atomic breath for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know. And again, like you said, it would just be kind of playing the same old, the favorite tracks, the hits.
Yeah, you can't keep doing it, right? Yeah.
So to that extent, like this movie really does make an effort, and I appreciate that it does, is to
do something different.
Take the genre, and take from, where this show, like this franchise, in its original version has gone. Like the Godzilla franchise has been absurd at times.
Exactly, exactly.
And this leans into that absurdism.
Right.
Or absurdist.
Like all the James Bond movies weren't the Daniel Craig movies. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like 100%. Sometimes you're going to, and that's what I mean. Like you come into these and you do kind of long for those moments. But this is what they give you, and if you either on board or you're walking out of the theater, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. This is just popcorn entertainment.
100%. It is like, to me, the perfect popcorn movie. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you just turn your brain off, go have fun. There were some silly moments, but all of those silly moments generally made me go, "Wow, that was fun." You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Can we get into some of those just real quick?
Oh yeah, 100%. The very start of the movie, if it doesn't tell you what this movie is about to be, but it felt like almost like the Nickelodeon Awards featuring Godzilla and King Kong, because they're both like they were catching up with the monsters, they were both fighting something, and then they were killed something that got goo all over them.
Yeah.
And and then it cut to this very stylized kind of 80s looking, and I loved the kind of like 80s needle drops kind of thing throughout the movie. It felt, and that's the thing, what I appreciated was that it was basically replicating kind of like an 80s style monster flick told in modern times, but like all the beats kind of thing. So I appreciated that. It's like it's not just like dumb fun. Like you could tell, I think it's Adam Wingard, the director. Like he put, there was some thought to this. But yeah, anyway, so that title sequence. But yeah, what are some of those moments you were talking about?
So the first time, to cut a little later in the movie, the first time that Godzilla and King Kong like actually bump heads. Yeah, it's pretty late. Yeah, at the pyramids. Man, if you thought that shot in the trailer of Godzilla jogging alongside King Kong was silly, and you were like, I don't know if I can get on board with this. Dude, that shot where Godzilla like picks up King Kong and like suplexes him behind him, you know what I mean? He does this like wrestling move where he's like, I was cheesy smiling. I was like, this is so fun. I love this. I'm having a great time. This is so dumb.
Yeah.
One thing to know about this movie is that it absolutely defies the laws of gravity. Yeah. 100%.
Physics. Nothing looked natural.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
One big eye roll for me, and you better believe I kind of like did the research today. But like, one thing I was just like, oh, come on, is having Godzilla curl up inside the Colosseum.
I was twice. Just about to ask. That was like his little like crib.
Yeah, it does look like an egg, I guess. But like, you're telling me, like, cut to Godzilla actually trying to step in that? You think he's like tiptoeing inside the center of the Colosseum?
This movie really made me think about how the world is interacting with these monsters, like, in not severe monster moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, imagine the NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, right? Like, imagine Godzilla just laid down there, and the whole rest of the city is like, what? They're just there. Are they keep going? You know what I mean? Like, where is that? Rome? Is that where that is?
Uh-huh.
Like, these just like Italians are just like, hey, give me an espresso. Or whatever. The
Colosseum is closed.
Hey, what is a pizza? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I would. It's okay. When Godzilla stamped his foot in that first movie, right? He tore up the city, whatever city they were in, to kill the Mutos. San Francisco. Like, it's like this big catastrophic, like, governments have to get involved to like house these people, like, homes are destroyed. And this time, like, Godzilla's like taking a nap, and you're like, what do we do? You know what I mean? Like, I'd be panicking the entire time. I'd be like, what the fuck do we do? Godzilla's there. He can wake up. It doesn't matter if he's even mad. Like, when he decided to wake up after the first time, and like, he was like, oh, he
destroyed all those bridges.
He's fucking everything up just walking to get to the water because he doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean?
And you know, the mayor is like, oh, thank God Godzilla is gone. He's never coming back. Two days later, he comes back. He's like, oh, I actually like the Colosseum to sleep in.
There was definitely a moment where Godzilla was swimming in the ocean, and his like fins or whatever, they like break a couple bridges and cars fall in the water. And dude, I saw this movie like a week after that Baltimore Bridge fucking fell. Yeah. You remember?
Yeah.
Like, that is a real thing that happens, and people fucking died. You know what I mean? And like when they show up at the pyramids, King Kong shows up at the pyramids, and people start falling off the pyramid or whatever because they're like, whoa, and then they fall.
Which I don't think people are allowed to climb.
I don't think you're supposed
to
do that. Which, first off, it's like, okay, I guess you got what you fucking deserved. Yeah. I don't know that. But like, King Kong just walks by that shit, and you're just like, those people died. You know,
collateral damage is not an issue.
No one seems to care.
Well, that's the thing. Like, after the second movie, like, the King of Monsters was kind of like dealing with the fallout of Godzilla coming out of whatever hiding, and that kind of devastation attitude is kind of gone.
It's
more of just like preventing those two from fighting.
On his podcast, he even has an ad for like Gargantua Insurance or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like the world is just accepting that these.
Yeah, because they leave you to assume that like the monsters are just very present now.
There's a moment, you know, Monarch is watching all the Titans at any given moment, and they're like, "Oh, Godzilla's going to the Arctic," and she's like, "Well, what Titans are there?" And like six Titans pop up on the screen, and it's just like. When to take it back to 2014, those Mutos come out and you're like, what the fuck, man? These are monsters, dude.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla comes out and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, they get bigger. You know what I mean? And then I guess because King of Monsters, they just immediately introduce like 17 more of them. So it's just like, well, this is the world. There's a ton of them. But what I'm doing now is I'm trying to like logically say, I don't like this and that, but that's not the point of this movie, right? Like,
right.
It's a silly fun time.
Yeah. But we're just vibing. All right. So let's talk about some moments.
I need to get your opinion on this. I need to know. I loved it. I hated it. Okay. King Kong's little monkey pal, like the little monkey. Loved it. Hated it. Okay, loved it or hated it. There's no in between.
There is. There's a journey. Okay, and by the way, folks, if you haven't grasped this, spoilers.
Christ, that should be like a tagline.
About it, I know.
45 minutes into discussion. Oh, by the way, spoilers.
well, we haven't talked about some of the great moments yet. So, okay, so look it. When I saw the trailer, I was just like, oh, fuck me. They're doing kind of like every franchise does and introduces a cute character to whatever. And
so like, you came into it not wanting it.
Right. And they're going to have like a father-son relationship or some fucking thing. But then when we meet this monkey.
Yeah. He's kind of a little shit.
He turns out to be a little shit and like kind of fucks with King Kong. And so King Kong reacts accordingly and uses him as a weapon. And I thought that was hilarious. God. And I loved, Miguel, to answer your question, I loved that.
Yes.
I loved that journey for that monkey. So that felt, I felt like a little bit more, at least, organic.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, and like, obviously, the familiar tropes of, you know, like, obviously, all of these giant apes have been under the foot of the Scar ape. And, you know, so yeah. But that intro was great and very surprising because, like I said, I kind of had that relationship already pegged as
you knew where it was going to go.
Huge eye roll. Yeah, exactly. But no, no I liked the.
This was one of those things that was spoiled for me, but on the internet, because the internet ran with that GIF. But yeah, that was one of the things that I was like, I was kind of like, I want to see it, but I could wait till it comes to home or whatever. But when I saw this GIF online and of him picking up that baby King Kong and smacking the shit out of other apes with him, I was like, hell yeah, dude, sign me up, dude.
So was that what the spoiler thing you were trying to share with me?
Oh, yeah, I probably sent that to you guys because I was like, "You got this is so goofy. You have to see this."
Okay.
But I, of all of the things that were spoiled, I mean, there's really only a couple of moments. I liked that the trailer, there's a scene like in the lava cave where it's like doom, doom, and the monkeys all look at the lava and you see Godzilla's eyes through the lava. And I remember thinking, huh. Like, are the monkeys using, did they brainwash Godzilla? Now he's going to fight King Kong. Is that the way they're going to go with it?
Yeah.
But that was just a psych out. And that was a totally different character peeking through the lava in the lava cave. It was like that, the ancient, original Godzilla.
Yeah. I mean, I was picking up, again, through this overwhelming marketing of this movie, that it was just like another creature just equal to or bigger than Godzilla.
No, I thought it was Godzilla 100%. I thought it was Pink Godzilla about to shoot his flames. I thought Pink Godzilla was going to be like brainwashed Godzilla is how I thought it was going to go. And so every time I saw clips, I was just like, oh, okay, you know, they've turned, that's how they're going to justify them fighting. You know?
Sure. Yeah. No, I got, I figured, at some point. Anyway, what was the point?
That's the end of the discussion. Okay. What was the point? You know what I mean?
Well, what did you think of the Scar ape?
Man, here's the thing is there has to be a bad guy, right? There has to, and it has to be a big titan because it has to be something that can. And once you kind of like say all of these things have to be, you just kind of get this like, this kind of generic bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was ultra compelling.
Or threatening.
No, only because it's like, I mean, okay, maybe him and King Kong battle and he beats the shit out of King Kong once. Right. But you know, Godzilla's going to show up at some point and Godzilla's also going to be there. And it's the two of them plus whoever else fighting this thing. And it's like, he doesn't stand a chance kind of deal.
Right.
I did like that he posed enough of a threat. Like, I liked that Kong, when he showed up, he was like, first off, I love this element that Kong is looking for his family. He's looking for people like him. He wants to have a community, right? And he shows up in the first community he's finally seeing, there's like monkeys like me, right? And it, they're like basically slaves and they're being beaten to shit by this like fucking, what's the word I'm trying to say? Dictator, you know what I mean? Of a leader. And he immediately stands up for him, you know? It's like, he doesn't know them, but he's immediately like, no, that's wrong. I love King Kong. I love the way they've made him in those movies. I lost my train of thought of what I was going to say. I don't know. Oh, I liked that he beat the shit out of Kong. I liked that Kong got beat up first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And had like a...
like a motive to really want to delete this person.
You know? Yeah, well, upgrade to like... Because Godzilla was kind of doing this upgrade thing.
Yeah.
But like, considering, I guess it was Godzilla who shut them in the center Hollow Earth or whatever, that he... they would have had more interaction.
Yeah, that seems like
get Godzilla a little something. Like, he gets, like, first, you know,
dibs.
What do you call it? No, what do you call that on, like, posters and stuff? First credit?
First billing?
Top credit? Top billing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Godzilla and Kong.
Uh-huh. But no, this is Kong with Godzilla.
Yeah.
And featuring.
Introducing
Pink Godzilla.
Yeah.
I liked the Hollow Earth battle. I liked the gravity battle. I thought that was fun.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. That was like when that moment happened, I was just like, oh yeah, all right. This is
like, let's have fun with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a sandbox. Let's play.
I was finally getting like I'm about to like compliment this movie, but I've got to start it off with like a criticism. Like, one of my biggest problems with this one and Godzilla versus Kong is they've started using these like close ups on these characters.
Okay.
And it makes them look so cartoony because you're trying to force these kind of facial expressions and it.
Right.
So many times. So many times in versus Kong, you know, it had a close up of Godzilla, they might as well have just been like, you know, nodding at each other kind of thing.
Wink.
And but like again with the scale of these monsters, you kind of want to see some wide shots, baby. Like in this epic battle, they're finally all charging at each other, then right at this perfect moment the gravity kind of like whatever the triangle pyramids collapse and they kind of lift up into the air, and I was just like, genius.
Like, let's have
brilliant. Like, this is, yeah, like, how do you mix up the elements a little bit? You've already done land and sea and stuff like that. So
give
them the air, but like gravity, but like in gravity, it worked. Like, I thought it was a lot of fun. They made the most of it, it made it entertaining. Yeah, it was just like a oh shit moment.
I can't believe they actually sold me on the idea that they were trapped in this Hollow Earth, right? And then, like, the monkey, the side monkey found, he followed Kong to, like, the Iwi temple or whatever.
Right.
And he realized there was a portal, and he went back and was like, yo, there's a fucking portal to Earth. We can go there, you know?
Right.
I was like, I can't believe that without any dialogue at all, they, like, made that believable. And like, I understood the motive of these characters right away.
Right.
And I was like, okay, they don't want to be imprisoned anymore. They want to go rule the earth.
Exactly. They're invading or whatever.
I don't know. Final.
Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon 2?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
How to Train Your Dragon, Folly Ado.
It's too, like, T-O-O.
Yeah, T-O-O.
So how do you drain your... I said drain your dragon.
That was a porn spin. Like,
That wasn't the same movie. I watched a different one.
Anyway, so, like, in that movie, they start exploring, like, more dragons, and there is, like, there's these two factions and this like bad guy who uses the dragons as kind of slaves and you know, tools of war and stuff like that, and he has this giant kind of like ice dragon too. And they, like, you know, they fight these other ones. It just felt like a lot like that.
You felt there was a similar
thing, not that it was just, you know, I didn't feel like, oh, this ripped off How to Train Your Dragon 2. Right.
They did my boy Hiccup wrong.
Good reference. That's good.
That's his name, right?
Yep. Hiccup and Toothless. Good job. Like, but like,
Yeah, anyway, man, visually, that's just like, that's what that's ice dragon or whatever you want to call it.
Speaking of this ice dragon, man, there was a moment where the Scar King is riding the blue eyes white dragon, and they're running at each other. This is the shot, right? Oh, hang on. Do you remember when I mentioned when I saw Killers of the Flower Moon, I told you like there was like a pivotal moment where like this, all of these story elements just come together. I'm not trying to spoil Killers of the Flower Moon right now, but like where they like reveal like a kind of a semi, like a twist to that movie. And I don't know if you remember the guy next to me, I said, got up and went to go pee right before that happened. And it's like, he missed this like pivotal moment of the movie. Same in Godzilla versus Kong here. That scene where they roar and they start running together. Right before that, this dude got up and went to the bathroom. And I was like, you missed like the shot of the movie. Like, yeah. How are you going to walk away?
Oh, I saw this in the trailer.
Which I was like, man, no, you want to experience that. But no, and that when they're running,
what else did you come for? Not that charge.
I needed to see this big hipped ass lizard like run. No, so he hops on the ice dragon, and Godzilla and King Kong are running at him, and Kong jumps on Godzilla to ride him. You know what I mean? And they run at each other
effortlessly.
Come on! And then they jump. They all jump at each other, and they're all perfectly lined up. I was just like, I'll see this movie again just for that shot. Like, I was having such a good time. I was like, when Captain America picked up Thor's hammer, I felt the same energy. You know what I mean? I was like, let's go. This is the greatest. No, it's not. No, I'm being a little hyperbolic, but yeah, I was.
I get you.
I was charged.
And that was one of those scenes where I was just like, oh, just luxuriating that, like the size of these animals. And
luxuriate.
Like, you know, I guess like the I already said the anti-gravity thing was really cool, but like, you know, if you had those monsters actually collide and then start knocking down mountains, that would have been cool too. But whatever, mountains, you know,
would have been good. So my gripe about these movies is I've kind of said it in some other things too. I guess just as I get older, one of the things that I don't like is like super catastrophe being played off like as nonsense or like silly. Right. Yeah. So when they get to like, what is it, like Rio de Janeiro? Is that where they end up?
Yeah.
For the final battle.
Part of it, I guess. Yeah,
because they get into a city. You know what I mean? And like he's whipping the thing, he rips a building off. They're every single character is knocking into buildings left and right. And just for me, it's like, maybe it's because we lived through 9/11 or whatever. But it's just like, to me, like these are very traumatic moments. Like people are dying, and they just never really like make a big impact in these moments anymore, because it's what are we here for, right? We're here for the monsters fighting each other. That's we want to see him throw a building because that's fun, and I get that. But I'm just like, oh man, I just get taken out because I'm just like, man, like how many thousands of people just die?
You know what I mean? Just like leveled a city,
like, and from Godzilla 1 to this movie now, the amount of times Titans have fought each other, it's like I really don't think humans would have survived this moment.
Oh no, like, at all. Yeah,
especially Godzilla 2, you know what I mean, when they start releasing all those monsters and all that shit. Like I was just like, man, I just don't think we as a society would ever survive that. No. And yeah, so that there's always kind of taking out.
Sure. It's also, I mean, again, it's like that interesting, especially throughout this entire like IP, you know, it's that interesting juxtaposition of very campy visually, and you know, theatrically, and then also you have these serious ones like Godzilla Minus One, where you know
those moments are impactful,
and you feel the human element to it, you know.
Well, that's why
is obviously not the vibe of these movies. Again, it's just one of those things that you know what you're getting into. It's they are literally just saying like smash, like they just, like we were talking about it, Godzilla is literally taking a nap in the Colosseum.
Exactly
they knocked down the pit, like everybody last year for the Napoleon trailer were just like, ooh, there's a battle next to the pyramids, but then this one
they just knock them down.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Fuck them. I just wish
you're not wrong. I mean, that, and it's, you know, the same argument was made for like Man of Steel, especially, and that's
a movie that
takes itself very seriously, whereas this one, obviously, again, it's more cartoony. Like,
right?
Why? Yeah, just like, why did it even show up in Rio de Janeiro? Like,
of all places?
Yeah, I don't know, but. Yeah, that's just the nature of these films.
That's why I liked him being in that hollow earth so much, because it's like, yeah, like let that be the sandbox. Go play in there, make all the mistakes there. It's not a real sandbox place.
Is the perfect way to describe it. That's, you know, what it feels like. Most of this movie is just like Adam Wingard and his
he's like his playing toy with his toys.
Yeah,
it's just like, and that's fine. That's a lot of fun. Like, I really did have a lot of fun. And I guess with the pyramids, and I don't mean to be insensitive, but like the pyramids, however regarded they are, like, they're empty, you know what I mean, for the most part. It's not like people are in there. It's not like civilization is held up in those pyramids. So when you knock over something like that, when you knock over the Statue of Liberty or the Eiffel Tower, like, those are, yes, you don't want those things to happen, but they are like just physical beings and not like humans, you know?
Yeah, you're mixing like famous monuments. You know, that's just like tale as old as time, as far as like world destruction movies, basically, like Independence Day and all of that shit.
It's right, like the White House getting blown up, exactly. The fucking Empire State Building in Godzilla 98, you know what I mean?
Or Civil War coming up, you know, like those.
Yeah,
it's those images that, you know, makes it a worldwide thing.
Oh, yeah, New York exactly.
is on fire, or like, it's just like famous locales that you can recognize.
But I feel like that gripe, that is just a personal one for me, and it's like it doesn't take away from the movie at all. Like, it is a fun time. It's a fun popcorn movie. I am kind of hoping that me and the boy will go see it in theaters before it's out, but I'll also watch it at home.
I think, yeah, like I know, like, once it comes out, feel like Lily genuinely was just kind of like a little intimidated on the big screen.
I get that.
It's like those big monsters, they can be scary, absolutely. And in a kid's eyes, even more so. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm a little worried about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a little rough, you know, like Godzilla, Kong, you know, they have that first intense fight. Oh, yeah. That, like, that like old gorilla or whatever ape tries to help the baby one, and then Scar ape just kicks him into the lava, you know,
man. I don't know if that's in the trailers or what, but I was in the car and I wasn't even mentioning that moment. I was just kind of talking about like that cave scene in general.
Yeah.
And the boy was in the car and he goes, oh yeah, and then he pushes the other one in the lava, and I was like, I don't remember that happening in any trailer that we've seen thus far, but it's just like he knew that was going to happen. And
interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. But that was like, oh, shit, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, but like these movies are so goofy. It's hard not to just kind of get swept away in it.
That's why when I complain about seriousness of it, it's like, no, this is not that movie. You know what I mean? Like, it is goof. Exactly. It's goof. Like,
yeah, it's pure goof.
Yuck.
Yeah. With a capital.
Yuck. Yuck.
Yeah. No, I mean,
so I listen,
you should put on the poster. Yeah.
I get it. Like, this is maybe not the best one of the whole franchise, but I think it's really fun. And I liked it a lot more than some of the other ones I've seen.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm all for it.
It embraced where it was going, kind of thing. Like,
I did mention a second ago that I saw I started a rewatch of Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Ooh, those consonants were hard for me to say. I've been drinking. I loved that he looked so young in that movie. He looked like a spry Kong, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
he's got this early kind of
early
like
20s
now.
And now he's like grayed, weathered. He's I love the looks he shot at all these things. Like, every time he looked at the little Godzilla, I mean a little King Kong, he was just like, man, I see so much of myself in you, you know what I mean?
Man, I don't know why this just reminded me, but like, I think my biggest overall issue with this thing was that it was just way too long. And one of those reasons was just like, I forgot that we went through a whole like literal series of scenes where they were dealing with Kong's toothache.
Yeah, like
just
that.
Like, I mean, like, we're really going this far just to kind of get the story going. Like, spare me, please. Like, I would have shown up 30 minutes late for this movie if, you know, we could have just skipped this.
Yeah.
You know, just like little bits like that. Just like hone it in just a little bit. You're not doing us any favors by trying to make us care with these human characters. I feel like you could have just kept it with Rebecca Hall and the daughter character.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just followed their journey. You know, they're the ones who are deeply connected to Kong. Clearly they did away with all of Godzilla's human side characters.
Thank God.
I mean, for anything, you know, just for brevity's sake, you know, kind of Kyle Chandler was already being kind of pushed off to the side in the previous film.
I liked him the most of that group.
Oh yeah.
I would have loved Kyle Chandler more. Yeah, you know what totally. I mean? But everyone else.
But
no.
Yeah, at this stage, it's like, we don't need it. Like, if you need to follow a storyline full of them to her origins, and that's fine. But like, good fucking Christ. Like, be creative, but like, let's be use brevity too in certain things. Like, it's a little gratuitous at times. But overall, it was fun.
Time.
I had a good time. I wasn't like, you know, it was silly. You know, it checked off all the boxes. Godzilla versus Kong was kind of nice because it was during the pandemic, and it was just big, stupid fun. And it was just like the two monsters fighting, and those fights were a lot of fun. And here it's a similar kind of vibe. So yeah, we did it.
Let me tell you this. Do you feel like there could be another one? Either Godzilla or King Kong separate or both together?
I was wondering that, but it's also like, where do you go from here? Like, obviously we've kind of reintroduced Mothra, which we haven't talked about.
That's true.
And I always thought it was weird that they cut out Mothra, since, you know, as far as the franchise goes, you know, Mothra is a pretty big part of it, you know, and you know, they threw away a lot of those characters in King of Monsters for whatever reason, like Rodan, Ghidorah. These were like major Godzilla adversaries, and it was just kind of like too many.
I think that second one ruined the pace of releasing those villains. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. They really, like, you know, you want a Monsterverse something?
Spread that shit out.
Like, because it is a Godzilla film at the end of the day, or whatever, a Monsterverse film. People are coming to expect that. You don't have to cram it all into one movie. Do it well.
Not at all. It would have been one. Absolutely.
Like, Ghidorah was supposed to be like a massive threat to Godzilla. Like, and Mothra, like, they were supposed to have a rivalry.
And imagine if it's Godzilla and King Kong going up against that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that would have been interesting.
They should have saved that one.
Yeah.
You know? And now we get this, like, generic Scar King, you know?
Yeah, like, now you're having to come up with characters because we already blew through all the best ones,
exactly.
Kind of thing.
Exactly. No, you wasted too much.
Like, Mechagodzilla kind of worked with the story of the last one. You know,
yeah, and that's kind of an appropriate one. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that could have been the stepping stone to, oh, the big bad is coming.
Yeah, because, yeah, how do you top it from there?
You don't.
Exactly. So. Like, Godzilla's kind of already declared king of the monsters kind of thing. And you kind of get the impression, because, like, whenever King Kong comes up to the surface, Godzilla kind of beats him up again.
How many times do I have to teach you this lesson, old man? You know, that was also another thing, is, you know, that there's like a sound clip, you know what I mean? It's like he roars and then he does that like guttural, like, you know what I mean, where he like breathes in or whatever. There was one point in the movie where it was like, damn, that doesn't even look like it's synced up to what his body's doing right now. Like, that has just become like the general sound of Godzilla, like, play. Exactly. Yeah, play. Like, man, that doesn't feel like he's actually doing that at all. And it's a
Bring Big back Lizard, James Earl Jones or whatever.
Come on.
Yeah.
Nah, dude. But, well, listen, I think we talked it. You know, it's a fun movie. Go see it. Yeah. Don't go see it.
You Who know cares? If you're going to go see it kind of thing. It's just this, one of those yeah. movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's in theaters. Luis, I hope you get to watch it and enjoy it wherever you are. That is the end of our feature discussion for this week. Miguel, well done. We did it.
We did it.
We did it's a short episode. Assignment for tonight. It was
an
short
hour and
episode.
A half. Yeah. That's not bad, man.
No, we did
well, thank you, guys. Yeah.
And we got a new trailer, too. So,
come on.
We're at the top, babies.
Who needs Luis? Luis, don't ever leave us again.
Nah, we did all right. We did all right. But so Godzilla by Kong. Are we going to go further?
Nah, that's it. That's it. That's okay. It for this week. We'll talk to you more next week.
We don't know what we're going to be talking about next week. We do have Alex Garland's Civil War coming out this weekend.
I kind of hope it's that one.
I hope it's that one. Yeah. I definitely plan on seeing it. But until then, it's been me, Ed Bull, and as always,
Miguel Sanchez.
And hopefully next week we'll be joined again by Luis Gonzalez. But until then, later, skaters.
Ooh.
Going back with an oldie.
Yeah.
Or like Godzilla would say. Bye, guys.